Thank you for listening to an audio recording from the Midwest Genealogy Center's Tell Me a Story program, an initiative dedicated to preserving America's history through the timeless practice of oral storytelling. To learn more about the Tell Me a Story program, including how you can add your own story to the collection, visit MidwestGenealogyCenter.org/tellmeastory. On behalf of the Midwest Genealogy Center and Mid-Continent Public Library, we hope you enjoy the following story.
My name is Emily Honor. It is Christmas Day 2018. We are in our TV room in Lee Summit, Missouri. I am talking to my mom's parents. And I'm asking them a question about Christmases when they were young adults or children.
Okay, so I'm Paul Schrader. I'm Emily's grandpa. And I grew up in inner suburbs of St. Louis. And I'm 72, so we're going to be talking about like the 1950s, maybe early 60s when I was growing up.
And my name is Dolly Schrader. I'm Emily's grandma, and Emily's mom is my daughter Mary. And I'm going to talk to you about my growing up in the city of St. Louis. Back in the 50s, when St. Louis was really a big city, it was 800 and some thousand people, and it was a very crowded city. And we lived in an area that was known, or is known today, as College Hill. It's right in the middle of the city. And our house was the same home where my dad grew up, in the same house. And my grandparents lived there. Their parents lived there off and on, so this house had been in our family for a long time. And so on Christmas Eve, my cousins, aunts and uncles, and my cousins would usually come to our house because they thought of this house as their home, which it wasn't anymore, but they kept coming to our house for Christmas Eve. So that went on for a few years as I was a little kid. I wanted to tell you about one of the special Christmases that I remember when we lived in that house. We lived at 2118 East DeSoto Avenue, and it was a real mixed neighborhood. There were lots of, just ordinary working class people who lived in this neighborhood. My dad had his own little business. He made hams and sausages. But one Christmas in particular that I remember, there was a lady, a woman who lived about a block and a half from us, and everybody called her Rosie. And Rosie had two boys and a handicapped daughter. And Rosie was very, very poor. I don't think she had a job. On how she made ends meet, I do not know. But she was a raggedy woman with raggedy clothing and raggedy hair and often smelled very bad, like she never took a shower, never got a bath. So everybody in the neighborhood knew Rosie. Well, one Christmas Eve, it was a beautiful, snowy Christmas Eve, I remember that. And somebody knocked on our door at our house, and lo and behold, it was Rosie, who never had come to our house before, but she came to our house, and she needed milk, and she needed bread. And my mom just went to the fridge and got a bottle of milk and got her some bread and gave it to her, and I thought, you know, that was just such a gracious and generous thing for my mom to do without even thinking twice about it. She just did it. Without asking her any questions or anything, and I just thought that was a beautiful Christmas present for my mom to do.
Yeah. And I want to tell a story that, and of course this is probably maybe 1960, I might have been in high school, but I remember putting up Christmas trees, And for my family, it was a little bit different because at that time I had a brother that had passed away when I was only 8, so I didn't remember much about that. And my sister is 10 and a half years older than me, is my only other sibling. And she had gone to college, and she was married and out of the house, and living in first in South Dakota and then in Wisconsin. And so I was the only one around at Christmas time. And we got into the habit, once I got to about high school, it would be around 1960 or so, that we would go to visit her and her family, because she had had kids by then, and my mother and dad and I would drive up to either, usually Wisconsin. They had moved to Wisconsin by the time we were doing this on a regular basis. So for us, putting up Christmas trees, we didn't put it up on Christmas. We weren't even home on Christmas. Usually the last day of school, the next day, we would drive up to visit my sister. So we would put up our Christmas tree a week or so before that. And back in the 50s and early 60s, there weren't many artificial trees. You heard about aluminum trees. There were a few of those that were the weirdest things you ever saw. We never had one of those. We always got a real tree. But real trees were not the same as today either, because today they grow Christmas trees on Christmas tree farms, and they trim them the whole time they're growing. They're nice and full. They're just perfect cone shape. Well, these were just trees that were cut from somewhere, I don't know where, but they weren't trimmed and real full and beautiful. They had spaces, and they were not always, you know, which side is going to go against the wall because it's the flat side with not many branches. So anyway, I remember one Christmas in particular, we were setting up our tree, and it was in this weird, I've never seen one like it before, a cast iron stand with a ring that was threaded that would drive hammers against the trunk to hold it tight. But no pan of water under it. It just dried up. And so they didn't last very long. Well, anyway, we're putting up this tree, and my dad says, oh, there's a real hole there. It looks like we need a branch right here. Well, of course, there wasn't a branch there. That's how you knew you needed one. And he says, well, and he's not an engineer. You have to understand, an engineer might think of this. I was amazed my dad thought of this. Why don't we cut one of the bottom branches off, trim it down, drill a hole in the trunk where it should have a branch, and push this branch into that hole, and we'll fill that space. And I said, but Dad, it won't hold any ornaments. It's not going to be strong enough. He says, easy. You get some black sewing thread, tie it to the end of the branch, and tie it up to the trunk above it, and make an angle there and hold the branch up, which is what we did. And since these trees were much more open than what you're used to seeing nowadays, when you hung ornaments, you always had a spool of thread with you because you wanted the ornaments to hang in the middle of the open space. So sometimes they had to have a long hanger and sometimes a shorter hanger. So you just made it the length you needed with the thread. So we would put our tree up, and it was beautiful, and we loved it, and that was great. And then we would go up to Wisconsin for the whole week between from Christmas all the way through New Year's and come home. Well, think of this. This is a live tree with no water for like two, almost 3 weeks. It was a wreck when he came home. I mean, all the branches were hanging down. All the needles were falling off. And by the time you took the ornaments and the tinsel and the lights off of it, you had basically a pile of needles on the floor and dragged this thing out the house. And then it took work forever sweeping all the needles off the floor to get the house put back together again.
Well, another story, just a little bit of atmosphere, I guess, about Christmases when I was a kid. The street at the, we lived on DeSoto Avenue, and right half a block up from us was West Florissant. And West Florissant was a real busy shopping district at that time in the 1950s. There were lots and lots of stores and a couple of groceries and a couple of vegetable markets. And the people who owned businesses in that area, including my dad, they had an organization called the West Florissant Businessmen. And while my dad never took a day off work, right before Christmas, he would go take one afternoon, Saturday afternoon, and go with the men from the West Florissant Businessmen's Association go out to the country and find a Christmas tree to cut down and bring back to set up at the West Florissant Avenue. So they would go out and come back with this big, big tree. As I was a little kid, it was probably 20 feet tall. And they would decorate it with beautiful, big colored lights. And it would stand there in the middle of the intersection of West Florissant and Warney Avenue. And that was also the location, that intersection was where Santa always stood. And he would ring a bell. I don't think he was collecting anything, but he would just ring a bell. And I remember just, there were no shopping malls out in the suburbs yet. There were no places to go. It was just all these little individual stores. And that's where we did our Christmas shopping. And I always loved that Christmas tree at the corner of West Florissant and Warney because I always thought it was my dad's Christmas tree. It felt like it belonged to our family. That's all.
Thank you.
And we just went to see the play The Christmas Story last Saturday. And people our age, 71, 72 years old, really like that story because the story it tells sounds very corny to children nowadays, but we really did that. And then Ralphie and his family drove downtown to the department store to see the big display and the train sets, and Ralphie could see his rifle in the window, and you went and sat on Santa's knee and all that good stuff. We really did that. And downtown St. Louis, right around 7th Street, you had famous bars, Scruggs, Vandegrift, and Barney, and Sticks, Bear, and Fuller were the three big department stores. And they all had huge, big display windows full of decorations. All of them had a big Santa. You could stand in line and go sit on Santa's lap and get your picture taken and tell Santa what you wanted. And we really did do what they did in that play. It sounds kind of corny, but we really did. And there's another scene in that picture, in that play, that goes to decorating the Christmas tree, where the father is saying all kinds of nasty words because he can't get the lights to work on the tree. Because the lights we had in those days were called in series, which means when one light burned out, the entire strand went dark. And so you had to go through and change them bulb by bulb, one at a time, until you found the bad one and get them the light again. So it really was a big celebration. When, oh, you got all the trees to light at one time. It's not like they burn out now, one burn bulb's out, and that's it. So that was another weird, weird thing that was that we grew up with, and that was normal for us.
Can I tell you about our Christmas in Germany?
Sure.
Well, Grandpa was an exchange teacher, a Fulbright exchange teacher. He taught math at a German high school. And so we moved with our three kids. Your mom was our middle daughter. She was 10 years old at the time. We moved to Germany. We lived in a town called Tornesch, which is just outside of Hamburg. And on Christmas, it was Christmas Day, we all got in the car and we went downtown to Hamburg to this beautiful old, absolutely gorgeous church called the Michael, St. Michael's, but they call it Michael. And we went to church there. There were two big, beautiful, enormous Christmas trees at the front of the church, one on either side of the altar, all both of them in gold tinsel. They were just beautiful. I've never seen anything with Christmas trees with gold tinsel on them. It was so pretty. Well, after the service, we walked out of the church, and it was just beginning to flurry a little bit. So we thought, oh, this is nice. This is going to be pretty. And it did. It snowed a little more. We got back home to our house, and it continued to snow. About 4 o'clock, it was really a nice snow all over the ground. It was so beautiful. I went out in the front patio to look around and see the snow and maybe to check on the cats that we were talking about earlier. And somebody had delivered a sled, a wooden sled, an old-fashioned wooden sled, and it was leaning against the bricks of our house. And we thought, where did this come from? But we were just delighted. It was such a beautiful gift from somebody. And so we bundled our kids up, and your mom sat on the sled, and little sister Julie, she sat on the sled too. Grandpa pulled them down the street, and I walked with big sister Amy. We walked down the street. It was only a one-lane street. It had no plows on it. It was just beautiful, clean, white snow. About two blocks from our house, the street ended and it turned into just a little path. So we continued on down that path, and then we went and turned left, and we walked through the moor. The moor is like a big meadow where the sheep were grazing and the cattle were grazing. Walked through the moor, and as we walked through there, we passed by a very German-looking house. And in the front yard was a Christmas tree. And in the dark, this one tree was lit up with colored lights. And there weren't very many colored lights in Germany. People didn't decorate their houses or their trees, not like we do in America. So here we were in the dark in this beautiful, quiet, silent place on Christmas Eve with this beautiful, beautiful tree. It's a wonderful memory for me.
Thank you. Those were some wonderful stories.
It was fun.
It was great. Nice telling them.
Thank you for doing this.